J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Monday, May 8th. 2023. How you doing, kids? You are at jcontheline.com. Maybe you've noticed, I would say maybe four, maybe three out of the last five podcasts, we've been running a little long. It's supposed to be 30 minutes, and I've been going 45, 50 minutes and stuff like that. This is going to be one of those days. I have got just like papers and papers and papers. I don't know how I'm going to get to everything here today, but where do you want to start? How about PetSmart? It used to be you could go into PetSmart on a Saturday morning and the Humane Society would be there with a bunch of doggies and kitty cats, and you'd go in there and you would play with them and you would become so enamored with maybe one in particular and say, well, we didn't really come in here today looking to make an adoption, but this is so cute. Look at this little furbo, so cute. It's a baby, baby. And you end up signing the papers and walking out with an animal you hadn't really planned on. Somewhere along the line, I don't know, somebody complained or a lawyer got involved in an insurance company. I don't know what it is. Or maybe there was just some sort of practicality I'm unaware of. But now you can't play with the animals anymore. You go into PetSmart on Saturday, they got them all in cages or behind a piece of glass. That one room that they have, which is like a little cat room where they have, you know, the different, you know, they got everything stacked up and everything, and they have places that the cats can play. You used to be able to go in there and play with them, and you can't even do that anymore. And then the little area that they have next to the cash registers where they have all the puppies and all the kittens, they got them in cages, and you can't even take one out unless you first sign all the paperwork, sort of like an intent to purchase an animal, which we're not in the position to do right now. As a matter of fact, I have the awful job today of putting down our second cat in 2 months. And one 17-year-old kitty cat we had to put down 2 months ago, and now his companion, who is 16, is in bad shape. And so this afternoon, I have to do it. And I think we waited too long with Victor, and I'm not going to make that mistake again, where the animal is just has such a rotten quality of life. And you realize the only reason this animal is still alive is because I'm too much of a dumbass to, you know, set the animal free. I hope somebody does it with me someday. You know, if I end up with some sort of a stroke or something like that, do not resuscitate. Just let me go. I don't want to be like strapped to a bed for 5 years while my body, just while my organs just slowly one by one die off. Fuck that. Death is a part of life. And if you love something, and I love these Kit Kats and all the pleasure and enjoyment and just how hard I have laughed sometimes, and then just the warmth of having a kitten snuggle up in your neck at bedtime. So this will be the first time in something like, and I have to go back and really think about this, but it's going to be the first time in something like 40 years that I've not had a cat in the house. But we got our little Luna, our doggie. She's 5, lab mix. She's going to get all the attention now. But what better way of compelling somebody to adopt an animal than let them play with it a little bit first? And it's just, there's too much red tape. And I was very, very disappointed to see their new policy. One of the things I hate about holidays is that in the lead up to Christmas and Easter and New Year's and all that sort of stuff, all of my favorite shows are in reruns because everybody wants off to spend time with their family. So Colbert is gone for 2 weeks and Jimmy Fallon's gone for a week. You know, everybody gone. And this, by the way, was the first weekend, no Bill Maher and no John Oliver. It's starting to sting. I've told you on numerous occasions that a guy that I've known for close to 40 years, Chris Albers from St. Louis, grew up in the city, good-sized family. Chris went to SLU High and then moved to New York and became Paul Schaefer's personal assistant, started submitting scripts, and the rest is history. He created a character that you saw from time to time on David Letterman, Dwight the Troubled Teen. That was Chris. I don't know if you remember Friday Night Videos, the thing you used to run on Friday night on NBC after The Tonight Show with Johnny, Friday Night Videos. He hosted that, I want to say something like 6 times. He has written for almost everybody. That would include Bill Maher, Jon Stewart, David Letterman. And for 14 years, he was Conan O'Brien's monologue writer. And when Conan moved west, Chris stayed where he was. And then, get this, with the strike going on, Chris was president for 2 years of the Writers Guild. Those are the people on strike. And he was the head guy. So he's a pretty good source to have when you're talking about this. And, you know, he's pretty adamant about the fact that the writers are asking for just normal, practical stuff. And the studios are being such assholes about it. You know, all these new channels and streaming and all the stuff, all these new forms of revenue that studios have. And they're like pinching the writers on everything. You know, you used to write for a TV show and you'd have a job 13 weeks because that's what the networks give you. They give you 13 weeks. And so you'd have a job for 13 weeks writing for this TV show. And if everything went well, the network would say, you guys did pretty good. The ratings are good. We're picking you up for another season. And then you had a job for another season. What they're doing now is they're having people come in and pitch ideas. It's like, tell us all the ideas you have. And then they collect all those. They pay them for 1 day. And then they bring more writers in and do the same thing. And they're just raping these writers. There's nothing fair about it. And it's the amount of greed on the part of the studios. You know, they say there's two sides to every story. In this case, I'm not sure there is. But Chris agrees that this is going to be a long strike. And one of the things that pops up is this whole AI thing. Writers are afraid that you got the guy who invented AI coming along and doing all the network news shows saying, I created a monster. You got to back off this stuff right away because it's got the capacity, and these are his words, not mine, to destroy humanity, not to mention take all our jobs. In Canada already, they have radio shows that are generated by artificial intelligence. and there was quite a bit of hubbub over the weekend on broadcast websites and chat rooms and stuff like that, where people in the broadcast industry are jumping up and down going, we got to stop this. We got to stop this. And I'm sitting there going laughing because what these people, all the consultants, all the management people, what they have done to the broadcast industry over the last 20 years, tell me the difference between artificial intelligence and what's on the air right now. They've turned all of these people. They've reduced them to robots. You don't get to say or do anything anymore. Hey, it's Carrie Underwood's birthday. It's 7:10. Trying to tell me a robot can't do that and probably do it better and it doesn't call in sick? I laughed out loud. Well, we're afraid that radio stations will have a bunch of robots. You already have them. King Charles. Some of these pictures look like my nephew's 6th birthday party at Burger King with the cardboard crown. The whole thing just looks absolutely ridiculous. By the way, 400 Burger Kings closing across the country. I ran out of Burger Kings to go to in St. Louis because one was more disgusting than the next. Maybe not as bad as Popeyes. Man, I made the mistake eating at Popeyes about 2 years ago. Forget it. And Kentucky Fried Chicken isn't much better. You walk in and you walk out feeling like you should take a shower. Places are filthy and don't even start on the restrooms. And it's too bad because I love Whoppers. What I would do is after we'd play baseball games, you'd get done about 10:30 at night and I would buzz past this Burger King and I could never not stop. I would always go in there. A lot of times I would get a junior Whopper because that's satisfying enough. I don't want to be a big fat guy, and I'll get to that in a minute, by the way. But made the mistake of going in once instead of doing the drive-thru. And when you look around, you're like, first of all, some of the people working the counter, under any other circumstances, would I want one of these people to be touching my food? Answer, no. Look at that. Everything is just sticky. You should go in there with a power washer. But 400 Burger Kings, that's a lot. Andy Cohen from St. Louis. Sure, he's a nice guy. I've never met him. He's got a successful TV show. But let's just think about what he does for a minute. All that Real Housewives stuff and all that crap that I just think is collectively lowering the intelligence of the United States of America. And it's just trash TV. But you go to Clayton High School and you get on TV, you become famous. Here's your star in the St. Louis Walk of Fame. And he got it over the weekend. And it's just fascinating. It's fascinating to me because, you know, in his efforts to connect with the female and gay audience out there, I just think he's really cheapened the medium of television. Let's give him an award. You know, a lot of people think that's what I did. They think that I cheapened the radio industry by doing what I started doing back in 1984. I don't see any star. And again, this is continuing to irritate me that the great Dan Kelly, and you've heard me harp on this before, I'm going to do it again. The guy introduced an entire nation to hockey in the 1960s. You got to remember, only about 6 American cities had hockey teams. Was it even 6? Chicago, Detroit, Boston, and then Canada, you had Montreal and Toronto. And I think there was only one more. Only like 3 or 4 American cities had hockey. And now the network comes along on Sunday afternoons and says we're going to play hockey games on TV. And people are like, we don't even know how you play hockey. You know, remember when you tried to explain icing to somebody or offsides? You couldn't even do it. And Dan Kelly did it successfully and did a great job in introducing the entire country to hockey. And then all he does while that's going on is do the Blues games. He does Mizzou games. He did some Cardinal games. And he left a legacy of a bunch of kids who are classic overachievers. Everything from our friend Kathy Kelly, who worked with us in radio for a long time, has been an executive with the Parkway School District for many, many years and does a great job doing that. Got Dan Kelly Jr. And then you got John Kelly, both good play-by-play announcers. Got a couple of great daughters. All this. No star for you. I don't get it. No Major League Baseball franchise has any right to force religious images on its fans, on its viewers on television, or on its fans in the ballpark. And therefore, to emblazon the pitcher's mound with the phrase, "He gets us," which when you go look it up is a religious organization. I say, bullshit and fuck you. And then somebody said, well, would you object if it was a Budweiser logo? It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. One is a drink and the other one is a religious ideology. You can't compare those. St. Louis Cardinals organization, as far as I know, and I've done a lot of checking over the last couple of years, the only ones running issue advertising. Issue advertising is something that they go, yeah, now a word from Schlitz. And instead of a Schlitz commercial telling you how great the beer is, they're like, I'm the president of the Schlitz Corporation, and I believe that abortion, you know, that sort of stuff. And one of the things that the Cardinals have been running on radio for years now is this Vitae organization, which they, you know, they have Ricky Horton voicing these things because he's a big, big anti-abortion Christian guy, Fellowship of Christian Athletes. He's the only one that could get to do it. But running them during the baseball games? No other Major League Baseball franchise does that. And now you get the Stiefel logo on the sleeves, and it's like, well, for God's sakes, when is this going to stop? Answer, it's not going to. It's going to get worse. Unless, of course, there's pushback. And that's what I'm doing right now. I'm pushing back. And I thought Tom Ackerman sounded great. When I say great, what I mean is not like somebody who's been doing the games for 10 years great, but for somebody who they threw into the broadcast booth for television for the very first time. He didn't make any mistakes. He didn't do anything to embarrass himself. He didn't do anything stupid. And more, that's becoming the standard for appreciation of the job you're doing in electronic media these days. Well, did he do anything stupid? No. Did he do anything embarrassing? No. Then he must have done a good job. That's how we're judging it these days. He's, you know, Tom's not flashy, but he'd do a good job. And the other thing is this thing with Jim Edmonds. Now, Edmonds has given people plenty of ammunition to use against him. You know, why? I don't know. Why do you get married if you still want to do threesomes? If you want to do threesomes, you should do that shit when you're single. And I'm not necessarily judging, but he does seem to be on a little on the sleazy side. He's a hell of a hitter. He was a hell of a defensive center fielder. But Jimmy is a little on the kinky side. And hey, look. If you marry somebody and you can still talk them into threesomes, I don't know, I guess more power to you. But it does seem a little odd. I don't know, maybe I'm a little old-fashioned that way. But it's interesting as I watch the comments, and there's a lot of people who just despise, well, there's people who despise everybody. Although I will say Chip Carey is getting really, really good reviews, and it's really nice to see because he is a pro. But if you listen to what Jim Edmonds is saying, and you try to get a little of the arrogance, and that does come through, just try to, if you can try to push the arrogance off to the side a little bit, you're going to learn a lot about the game. I have learned so much in just the couple of years that Jim Edmonds is doing color commentary. He does a great job. I understand the objection that people have, but if you judge it on content, I think you come up with a completely different assessment of the job that Jim Edmonds is doing. But I will say this, as I watch the commentary on social media, half the people say he's too negative, half the people say he's too much of a kiss ass. You know what that means? That means he's doing a good job because he's pissing off both sides. While all the controversy was going on, there was a game yesterday, by the way, with Goldschmidt and the three home runs. Is the losing over? We don't know, but it's off to Chicago, where it is going to be cold and damp. Maybe even a little bit of rain here and there, but it is going to be brutal at Wrigley Field starting tonight for the first of three in the friendly confines of Wrigley Field. It is not a good idea to be playing night games at Wrigley Field in Chicago, at least until Memorial Day weekend. It's a dumb idea. They shouldn't be doing it. Remember when Eli Marrero broke his leg in right field in a game? This was probably 15 years ago at Wrigley Field. Weather conditions were absolutely shit. They never should have been playing that game. And that was a day game. All this is going to do is fuel the controversy involving Wilson Contreras. Now, when a sports team does something, especially if it's something that's off the beaten path, a lot of times I'll go, that's fucked up. What are they thinking? But at least I understand it. This, moving Contreras to the outfield on a certain number of games, Do I understand it? Absolutely not, unless there's something else going on that we haven't been told yet. But this attitude that some Cardinal fans have adopted here, where you're blaming Wilson Contreras for everything that's wrong with the team. I don't know. You need a scapegoat, and he's the new guy, and he's a former Chicago Cub. Well, Tony La Russa was a former Chicago Cub. Bruce Sutter played with the Cubs. Lee Smith. Jim Edmonds went to the Cubs after his career with the Cardinals was over. Lou Brock, for God's sakes. And you can make a real long list of people who played for the Cardinals who started with the Chicago Cubs. This stuff is nonsense. Okay, let's talk Wilson Contreras, okay? Fifth among Major League Baseball catchers in batting average, sixth in OBP, 10th in slugging, and 6th in OPS. According to the catching metrics at Baseball Prospectus, Contreras is tied for the third best pitch framing percentage and ranks second in blocking errant pitches. Those rankings are among the 39 catchers that had received at least 1,800 pitches this season. The ratings are based on standard deviation, in other words, comparing an individual catcher's work to the overall league standard. Those are great stats, but what people want is Yadier Molina. He's not Yadier Molina. You know who is? Nobody. Grow the fuck up. The most knowledgeable fans in baseball aren't acting very knowledgeable lately. And it all seems to trace back to this obnoxious, totally obnoxious, territorial, provincial attitude that Cardinal fans have about the Cubs. It's embarrassing. Oh, and by the way, I believe it was last Wednesday. I think it was either Wednesday or Thursday. I'd have to go back and look. But do you remember me saying that as I was trying to assess the losing streak and trying to figure out what's going wrong, just like everybody else, somebody from out of town sent me a note today and they go, what's wrong with the Cardinals? I, you know, you ask 10 people, you get 10 different answers. But does anybody remember me saying that I thought that the absence of Yadier Molina on the field as a field general, as an extra manager who happens to also be in the lineup, that might be something that is responsible for what's going on? Like about a half a dozen sports writers over the weekend said exactly what I said last Wednesday. Sometimes I amaze my own self. Then we have the rally squirrel again, and let's see what happens tonight, starting in Chicago, but the weather is going to be less than ideal. In St. Louis today, severe weather definitely possible later on. Be on your toes for that. Another mass shooting in Texas. 8 dead. Nothing. Most people got up this morning and didn't even remember that it happened. That's how bad things are in this country. Here's a woman who is vacationing in Florida. She's got little kids and took the family to Disney World. And so, a gentleman by the name of Heath Graves, G-R-A-V-E-S, Heath Graves, commented underneath her picture and her all these shots with the kids and everything from Disney World in Orlando. Listen to this. Florida is great, but Disney's goal is to reshape cultural values to not align with conservative and most definitely not Christian values. I, too, love the magic of the parks, but it's not just worth supporting them at this point. Everyone has a line, I guess. Disney is reshaping cultural values. Okay, this as a response to somebody's vacation pictures. One of my favorite memes from over the weekend. You can always tell a lot about a woman by the way she pours gasoline around your car. And the coffee mug that has King Charles and Camilla Parker Bowles side by side and all the royal stuff. And it says, to all the side chicks out there, there's always hope. Somebody said, it's amazing how Cinco de Mayo always falls on the 5th. Hardy har har. And I said, yeah, it's also amazing how often I fall on Cinco de Mayo. 155 years ago, three brave Americans defeated El Guapo at the Battle of Santa Poco to give Mexico its independence. There they are, the three amigos. That's pretty funny. You think Alabama's football program is corrupt? Alabama's baseball coach, a guy by the name of Brad Bohannon, fired for connection to bets on losses to LSU. think he was throwing games so he could collect on his bets. Another meme that I like here, it's a man standing at the desk of a hotel. And there's a woman behind the counter. And he says to her, "I'd like the porn in my room to be disabled." Her response is, "We only have regular porn, you sick bastard." That's some pretty funny stuff floating around out there. I forgot to post that. I got to put that up. Since 1990, 133 teams have lost at least 20 of their first 32. Only 9 finished 500. Oh, back to King Charles again. Everybody's running around trying to guess how much money he's worth. One outfit says $2.3 billion, but another one says $750 million. Quite a disparity. A man living with his mother for the last 70-plus years finally gets a job. And the Cardinals have hired 3 consecutive managers who've never managed in the majors. Think that could be part of the problem? We finally have a suspect in those downtown parking garage shootings that have been going on for a couple of years now in St. Louis. I remember the first one was maybe 5 years ago, and a guy decides, I got to get up early tomorrow, and the Cardinals are getting their asses handed to him. I'm going to leave the game early. So he leaves in like the 7th or 8th inning, and he's walking to his parking garage and just shot in cold blood. They got a guy, Deshaun King Wilson, charged in connection to the parking garage shootings. All right, let's talk a little politics. And what we do here is we talk about politics only when it is absolutely unavoidable. And I think this is one of those cases.
Political Director Rick Klein here to break it down. And Rick, this poll is just brutal for President Biden.
Absolutely, George. And you talked earlier about that record low approval rating for President Biden. It's actually 6 points down just since February. And the skepticism over his leadership extends deep inside his own party. Only 36% of Democrats think that their party should nominate Joe Biden for a second term. 58% say they would support someone else or prefer someone else. That's despite the fact that the entire DNC, most of the Democratic establishment, has rallied behind President Biden. And you're seeing real weaknesses in the coalition that powered Joe Biden to the presidency back in 2020. Biden carried independents by 13 points against Donald Trump. He is now trailing Trump by 9 points among those same voters. He carried black voters by 75 points in 2020. Now he is up just 35. That may sound like a lot, but the fact of the matter is, in modern politics, that is not the kind of number that a Democrat needs to be victorious. And then, of course, that does spill over into the head-to-head matchup, the hypothetical rematch, Trump versus Biden. Right now, a 7-point edge in our poll from in Trump leading Biden. And in fact, it's an identical number with Ron DeSantis in a head-to-head that might happen next November. That tells us at this very early stage, George, that this race is shaping up a lot more about the incumbent president, Joe Biden, than it is about any of his challengers.
And Rick, as I mentioned with Senator Langford, President Trump, at least right now, appears to be strengthening his hold on the frontrunner, on his frontrunner status for the Republican nomination.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We've seen Donald Trump's numbers go up in the last couple of months across a range of polls, and most of the other candidates either going down or staying around the same. Ron DeSantis at 20%. Of course, that is not even half Trump's total right now. Everyone else in the single digits. That includes our ABC News contributor Chris Christie, who's considering a run of his own. He's at 1% in this poll. Despite all of that, despite the strength that we're seeing for Donald Trump right now, a strong majority of Americans think he should be facing criminal charges across a range of investigations, including on this one, 56% say that he should face charges over his attempts to overturn the 2020 election. What's interesting to me about this, George, is that even among that 56%, the people that think that, yes, Trump should face criminal charges, 18% say they would vote for Donald Trump over Joe Biden anyway. That tells you a lot about Trump's potential strength, but maybe more than that, some of Biden's weaknesses. And that question of age that you mentioned earlier that Joe Biden has been trying to address, Donald Trump is less than 4 years younger than Joe Biden, but the concerns over Biden's age are much more significant. 68% of voters say they think that Joe Biden is too old for an additional term. Only 44% say the same about Donald Trump.
Rick, I got to admit, I have a hard time wrapping my head around that. You've got 1 in 5 people who say they believe President Trump should face criminal charges, but they'd still vote for him.
It is remarkable, and I do think once there's a matchup with an actual person, maybe that changes. But that just tells you about how much Trump is kind of baked into the political equation.
There's nothing like inflation. You know, people go to the supermarket. I went to the supermarket yesterday. I picked up 6 items. It was $50. I had 6 items in my bag. I'm like, how was it? I went to the self-checkout, and they were like $50.24. When people feel that, no matter what the job numbers are, no matter what they're hearing from economists about recession, when they go to the supermarket and they are got sticker shock like I did yesterday, they don't care about all that other stuff because that's what matters to them most.
My head is spinning. How about yours? Guardians of the Galaxy 3 topped the box office, $114 million opening weekend. Super Mario Brothers movie has hit the $500 million mark in the United States. How right-wing do you have to be in order to be considered too right-wing for Alabama? A Ted Nugent show in Birmingham was called off because of his transphobic comments. What the hell is going on at the Kentucky Derby? Like, what was it, 7 or 8 horses just died? Bring in Mr. Ed for some testimony in front of Congress.
Golly, Wilbur, I'm not here to nay about the past.
Well, got him birthdays, Kim Osabi, Olivia Culpo, model and former Miss Universe. She's dated Nick Jonas, Tim Tebow, Ryan Lochte, Patriots wide receiver Danny Amendola, who played with the Rams for a while. She was on The Masked Singer. She's 31. Melissa Gilbert, 59, Alex Van Halen, 70, Philip Bailey, he was the one that sang Easy Lover, along with Phil Collins, and the falsetto you've heard on all of those Earth, Wind, and Fire songs, 72, Tony Tennille, as in the captain, and 83, Don Rickles would have had a birthday today. It was one of the greatest interviews I've ever been involved in. When you're just a kid growing up on the south side of Chicago, you never think, you never imagine in your wildest dreams that even if you are successful in the broadcasting business, that someday you're going to be sitting down across from a show business legend like Don Rickles.
Don, good morning. How are you?
Hey, JC, old buddy. Wow.
A real charge of
Stan Musial. Wow.
Well, actually, these days, Mark McGuire.
We know that. We have papers in New York and California.
Well, let's dive right in, Don Rickles. I understand that you're doing quite well financially after a great show business career. You wouldn't necessarily know that from the suit you're wearing, but was there a time in your life...
Why did you turn on me, JC? For no reason, you turned on me. I was very nice.
Was there a time in your life when you were not necessarily financially responsible?
Oh, sure. At the very beginnings of my career, when I was a very young man, I came out of the Navy in World War II, and I didn't have much to go on, and... Bucks was short, but as you work and you get a good business manager.
Yeah, and so, you could have probably retired by now, and yet you have not. Why not?
Greatness. Why should the public miss greatness? They stand around and they say, when is he going on? When can we hear him? Why would I give it all up? The world wants me. You think I want to wind up in St. Louis hitting beer cans? I got to have a life.
Well, you know, I'm
surprised. I can't stand around watching Mark McGuire hit a home run and watch his kid throw himself in the air. I can't.
Now, I'm surprised you have any money left, because I remember when you would go on the old Tonight Show with Johnny, you talk about these exorbitant vacations you went on, and I have this theory that you don't really get to know a person until you travel with them, and your traveling companion, along with your lovely wife Barbara, used to be Bob Newhart. What were those vacations like, and did you blow a lot of cash on those?
No, he was excellent. I saved a lot of money, as a matter of fact, because he carries the luggage, you know. He does the room service. He doubles at all that stuff. He's that kind of guy. You know what I'm saying? I'm a wealthy Jewish kid from New York, and he's from the Midwest, and he knows a bologna sandwich on white bread, and to him, that's excitement.
And by the way, before he got into comedy, he was an accountant, so maybe he was the best guy to be traveling with.
Well, you know, he's not exactly the life of the party, you know what I'm saying? You know, he's the kind of guy on New Year's Eve, his hat bends, you know. But he's a dear friend, and I love him dearly, and we've traveled together, but now the wife and I are going on a trip without them, so we're going to go to South America and find out who's in charge.
Well, you know what, Don? You're not really a kid anymore, and yet you are still very popular with young audiences and young comedians. You were just...
Well, naturally. You never saw my body in the shower, did you? Fantastic. I take a shower, you know, the water runs up. That's how great my body is.
And by the way, when your kids were growing up, I mean, this is something that I have to deal with periodically. How did you explain to them that what Daddy is doing is show business and, you know, you really can't act and you really can't talk like Daddy does when he's on TV?
Well, I gave him a check. So you take a check, you write it out, see? Then they take the money and they buy themselves all kinds of things. And they say, Daddy's wonderful. We don't know what he does, but he keeps giving us checks. And that's what keeps them happy.
Now, you've had kind of a second career as a movie star, and I'm sure that's actually not really true, because I remember you were in Beach Blanket Bingo?
No need to bring that up, JC. There's no need at all. No, I was with Frankie Avalon and Annette
Funicello, right?
In those days, it was right for me, and it was a lot of fun doing those kind of pictures. But then as time went on, Kelly's Heroes with Clint Eastwood, a Rat Race with Debbie Reynolds and Tony Curtis. And I've been blessed in Casino just recently, a year ago or so, with Robert De Niro, who I carried, and Sharon Stone, who wanted to be with me desperately. Oh, she kept throwing herself against the trailer. I hated that. I'm the voice of Mr. Potato Head again for Disney. It's my whole life to see Mickey Mouse run around the lot.
Don Rickles, a pleasure to talk to you. Good luck, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, man, you can't follow. You cannot follow something like that. All right, back on this date, 1984, I got on an airplane from St. Louis and went back to Buffalo to pack up my things and get ready to make the move to St. Louis. It was 88 in St. Louis. Got back to Buffalo. It was snowing. And after a big campaign where people said, just barrage NBC and Lorne Michaels with demands that Betty White be allowed to host Saturday Night Live. She did on this date back in 2010 and did some absolutely hilarious stuff. 64 years ago today, 1959, Little Caesar's Pizza was founded. That guy who owns that company is a really, really good guy. If you're ever thinking about trying a new pizza, try a Little Caesar's. First of all, the pizzas are good, and he's on the right side of things. Let's just put it this way. 53 years ago today, 1970, the Beatles released Let It Be. Welcome Back, Cotter, the theme song to the TV show by John Sebastian, became the number one song in America on this date back in 1976. It's a very interesting story that I heard John Sebastian tell once. I've told it here on a couple of occasions in case you didn't hear it. They basically said, the name of the show is Cotter. Now go to work. We need a theme song. And he went and sat down at the piano and picked up his guitar and just sat there for a minute and go, what the hell rhymes with Cotter? Otter? Nothing else. So he called him back and he said, just tell me a little bit about the show. Yeah, this guy goes back and blah, 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 blah. So he went back, sat down, and tried to adapt what he had been told about the storyline of the show to what he had available in terms of ideas to make this song. And it became Welcome Back, Cotter. And ABC actually changed the name of the show from Cotter to Welcome Back, Cotter. 45 years ago today, 1978, the Son of Sam pleaded guilty to all those murders in New York City. You can have a talking horse in Mr. Ed. You can have a talking cat in Sabrina the Teenage Witch. But if you got a talking dog next door, you come with us. And the writer's strike is hitting everybody. The MTV Movie and TV Awards went down last night, and they did it without an audience. Just think about that. No audience. They got the idea from CNN. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Monday, May 8th, 2023 is in the can. We're here every weekday morning right about this time at 11 every day. You can email me, JC at jconline.com. Facebook the showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Have a great Monday. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
So I understand that you're doing quite well financially after a great show business career. You wouldn't necessarily know that from the suit you're wearing, but in your life...
Why did you turn on me, J.C.? For no reason. You turned on me.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.